Welcome everyone to Welcome everyone to TupaCast episode 17. I am your host Christopher, and with me is my mom Sandy.
I'm Sandy.
My dad Alton.
Hello.
My wife Sarah.
Hello.
My daughter Ariana.
Say hello.
Hello. My brother Matthew.
Hey.
Okay, so tonight we are going to talk about our pet peeves. Okay, we're going to talk about pet peeves. Try to keep it positive. My intention of this was to sort of enlighten the world about things that bug us. So you can fix yourselves.
All three listeners.
People don't realize that other people's, some things you do might bother other people.
Take a listen.
Okay, so let's go, Mom. What?
Podcast. I hate podcasts.
Okay, Dad.
Okay, one of my pet peeves. It's not what other people.
He's got
do.
A list.
Yes.
I have a list too, except it's at home.
You guys were told in advance. I didn't prep anything.
What be thinking?
God. Not being told to prep. That's my pet peeve.
You didn't get the email again. Okay, one of my pet peeves is these automatic dim mirrors in your cars. You know how on the older cars. Like when you're driving at night, you could manually flip the mirror so that the cars behind you, the bright lights wouldn't blare in your eyes.
Okay.
Well, a lot of cars nowadays don't give you the option. They automatically dim.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, they suck because they don't dim very good. That's one of my pet peeves.
Oh, okay. So there you go, car companies. Fix it. Sarah?
I have to think. I wasn't prepared for this.
Okay. Matthew?
I can't think of any. I didn't have time to prep.
My pet peeve is people that shorten your name. My name is Christopher. My brother's name is Matthew. So my pet peeve is when people call my brother Matt, or they call me Chris. And it's a really bad pet peeve when you send someone an email or a letter and you sign it Christopher and they respond with, "Hello, Chris." Because to me, that's just poor manners. And I know when I've talked to people about it, it's like, well, I've always grown up and we've called people Chris, and I call my cousin Chris, but I'm not your cousin. And if I address you as Christopher, then that's my name. I don't shorten your name. You know, I don't go up to a guy named Bill and call him Bill. You know,
bye. What's up, bye?
Bye. What's up, bye? So that's my pet peeve. And a lot of people don't do it intentionally. It's just they don't think about it because a lot of people go with nicknames or short names. But that's a big pet peeve of mine.
I got one.
Well, you got to wait, Mom.
You got this like look of terror in her eyes.
I don't know.
Dad.
Let's see. One of my pet peeves is people who own pets in their apartments or even in their homes, and then they walk them down the street and they let them poop in your yard. That's a pet peeve.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. That's
That's just no
poop
class.
In your own yard or clean it up.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of homeowner associations in the cities require you to, or you get fined.
That should be that way.
We live in a townhome area, and we got a letter sent to us, and it said, you know, you've been reported that your dog has pooped in a specific area, and you are fined $50. And then they sent us a picture of the poop. I guess that's proof that, you know, it's just a piece of grass with poop on it. And, you know, the funny thing was we don't have a dog.
My pet peeve is babies talking on the podcast. Sorry, go ahead.
So we don't even have a dog. And it's like we got this letter.
Oh, someone thought it was
and
you.
So I was ticked. I thought someone was trying to like frame us like, you know, like people.
Someone trying to get you kicked out of association.
Someone saw poo and they assumed it was, you know, us for some reason, you know, just whatever. And so, you know, we called the homeowner association. They're like, oh, we sent that letter in error. Just ignore it. I was like, well, what point were you going to tell us that you sent us a picture, and thank you for sending us pornography pictures of poop.
They sent you a picture of poop?
Yeah, like, a picture of dog poop. Yeah.
Wow.
I was a little insulted.
That's a little overboard. Do they all do that? Like,
ours did.
Is that your pet peeve?
I'll add new pet peeves to the list by the minute.
Sarah, he's spitting up all over the couch.
Oh,
or the floor.
My pet peeve is baby spitting up on the couch. Okay, my next pet peeve, this isn't so much as a pet peeve as a sad state of where we're at in the world. You go in a restaurant and you go in the bathroom in the restaurant, and what do you see on the wall? A sign that says, "Employees, wash your hands before returning to work." Why does there need to be a sign that reminds you to wash your hands before you go back to preparing food? Like, that, you should do that automatically.
That's true.
And if you're hiring people that need to be reminded of that,
They have to. It's in the health minimum health thing.
Why? But I mean, that should just be.
You know what I mean? That like.
Have you seen the people at work there?
But I'm saying it, that's the pet peeve.
That's my pet peeve is that they're...
You want that sign to remind them because those people won't watch them.
They shouldn't be working there. You should not be...
You shouldn't be that stupid.
You shouldn't be that stupid that you don't wash your hands after going to the bathroom and then making food. That's my pet peeve.
Ugh.
I know there are people that need to be reminded. That's the sad part, that there are people that need to be reminded to wash their hands. Right, Sarah?
Yes.
Mom?
Oh, another one of my pet peeves is when you go to like a grocery store or Walmart or Target and you have a basket and it's got flat wheels on it. You know, you push in a cart and it's got flat wheels.
Flat wheels are crooked bent wheels.
A gimp wheel.
No, they're flat. The wheels have a flat spot on them. And I thought, how in the world do you get a flat spot? Well, I saw a cart guy at HEB the other day. And I know how they do it. Yeah, you know they. You know how they go pick up the carts in a parking lot. So this guy was he had like you know 25 carts, and then when he brought them into the area where the carts are, he just grabbed them and he just slid them all over on the rough concrete.
Oh yeah.
So when he slid them all
You're
over,
the
ones near. Anyway, what about that?
Rylan, do you have a pet peeve you want to share?
He's trying to tell you. You won't listen.
When I want a bottle, Daddy won't fix it fast enough. Oh, that's his pet peeve?
Yeah.
Okay, Sarah?
One of mine, I guess, are people that are always late.
Oh,
there are people
yes.
that are always late, but then they just kind of expect you to wait for them, and it's no big deal just because I'm
yes.
always late. Yeah,
I
with a lot of people.
Completely
yeah.
agree with that.
That's a big one.
Yeah, there's a whole.
They don't think nothing
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, it's no big deal.
No class.
That's just rude. That's just rude.
It is rude because they want to feel superior by making you wait.
Mm-hmm.
I got one that's controversial, and especially between two parents. As I sit between two parents, one of my pet peeves is parents who think the world should revolve around their kids.
They don't.
Especially, well, I mean, I understand you got a kid, and that's now the focal point of your life, and I think that's a great thing. But it's when you start to think laws need to be changed for your kids or for the safety of the kids. You know, think of the children. There's a bunch of laws like
Such
that.
Such as?
I don't give them to him here.
Well, there ought to be one law.
I can think of a couple, but I don't
I can go with Matthew on this as far as, like, some parents think that they're so, we go out in public and they're so focused on their kids that they're not paying attention to anything that's going on around them. They're not aware that they're cutting in front of people or that their kid's holding up the line or that they're just so focused on their kids that they're not aware of everything that's going on around them.
Yeah, that's also a pet peeve.
Part of it, I guess.
Yeah, well that, yeah, well, I mean, yeah, they think the world revolves around them. But my super one is when it needs to be like, you need to start changing the laws because, oh my gosh, now these video games are influencing kids or, you know, this stuff is bad for the kids and there should be laws. And it's like, well, you know, what about 90% of the rest of the population that thinks it's okay? You know, deal with it.
Well, that's not always just parents, though.
True, but I see more parents.
I can see that actually leads into my pet peeve. Not really so much a pet peeve, but like my other ones, a sad state of where we're at. Is okay, so I bought a Rubbermaid plastic container box or whatever to you know store stuff in, and what's on it? A sticker that says "Don't put a baby in here."
For real?
Yeah, for real. It's on all of them.
Well, why else would you buy it?
And I don't need a sticker telling me that, you know.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, I've seen it on a lot of them. I actually put one in a scrapbook. So I'm like, I can't believe that somebody put. Obviously, what happened was somebody put a baby in there, or the baby crawled in there, and they didn't know, and they put the lid on it, and the baby died. And then they try to sue them. That's the
yeah,
only
it's to
like
avoid.
Like a hot cup of coffee, cautious, hot.
Exactly that. The same thing. Like these labels, it's just ridiculous that you have to put "Beware hot coffee" on a cup of hot coffee. Like if you're that stupid.
Now you're talking about the McDonald's thing in particular.
Well, that too.
That's there's more to it than a lot of people think. From what I understand, because we talk about it in a lot of different classes, was. The sidetracked was, you know, so this old lady was, she got coffee to go at McDonald's and she spilled it in her lap and she got like burned in her lap. And so then she sued McDonald's because she spilled hot coffee in her lap and it was too hot of coffee and she won millions of dollars. But what really, well, I mean, I think the reality of it was she was stupid for putting coffee in her lap, period. Okay. It spilled, but the coffee was, I think, served at a higher temperature than it should have. It's like 160 degrees. And I think it should have been like 130 or something. So McDonald's was serving it too hot to begin with. But then also, she originally wasn't trying to sue them for exorbitant amounts of money. She was trying to cover her medical costs. And what people don't realize is she was horrendously mutilated from the burns. She had third-degree burns from the coffee.
Well, was she not like wearing clothes?
It was that hot. The coffee was scalding hot.
Can't be that hot.
No, it was. You couldn't even drink this coffee. It was that hot. And so when it spilled on her, she got third-degree burns, which is extremely serious. So, I mean, she had serious surgery, and so she wanted the cost covered, and they're like, no, screw you. We're not gonna do that. And so then she took them to court, and then at that point, McDonald's was like, look, you know, we're not going to pay for your medical costs. You're not getting a dime from us, you know. And so she sued them, and I'm glad she won because they shouldn't have been serving it
then. In that case, that makes a good point. But as a result of that, now there are labels on all the coffee cups that say, beware, hot coffee.
Yeah.
You know, that I understand, like, obviously there's some kind of malfunction where it was heating up too much, sure. But you don't need to go and label all the coffee.
I agree.
That's like a freak incident.
I agree. I think that, you know, you see these plastic bags you get at grocery marts. You know, do not put on your head, you can suffocate or whatever.
Right.
I was okay, first off, if you do that, you're stupid. Period. Okay. If you're that much of an idiot too, just because a store puts it on the bag, they shouldn't be exempt one way or another, pro or con, for liability reasons. I mean, because I say do not use hair dryer in the bathtub, you know, that shouldn't exclude me from being sued because it shouldn't even come up. You know, I mean, why would you do that? If you're so stupid as a user to do something like that, well then you're stupid. I mean, don't nanny everyone.
Yeah. So that's my pet peeve is
the cavemen didn't have labels on their hair dryers in the bathtub, and they were fine.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. and the thing is, most people agree, but you know, they still have to do it.
Yeah, but most people would probably in America would sue as soon as something like that happened.
That's true. A lot of people.
Yeah. Well, that's because I mean that there's a fault in the system because you should not be able to sue for something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mom.
That's a whole other topic.
Well, yeah. I got one on sleeping aids. You know, you take them to help you fall asleep, uh-huh. And the pill bottle says, cautious will cause drowsiness. That is so dopey.
Oh, right,
you want to be drowsy.
It actually says that on there?
Yeah, they all say that.
Wow.
Like, don't operate cautious. Motor vehicle.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to go to sleep, but you're going to go out and drive a combine or something. It says, don't drive vehicles.
That'd be awesome.
Will cause drowsiness.
Come on. Don't drive a combine.
I fall asleep. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, you're going to go to sleep. You're not gonna be
driving. That's kind of ridiculous. That's like,
dopey.
On like a beer bottle, they have may cause, you know, inebriation. Oh, I didn't know that.
Dad. Oh, one of my pet peeves is, you know, on jackets, plastic zippers. Hate plastic zippers.
Oh, as opposed
used to be
metal. Oh.
Yeah, plastic zippers don't last.
Oh, I got you.
There. Valid, Sarah? I thought I was going to pop up in all these. Matthew?
Mine would be men who don't lift the seat when they pee. Like, you see it in public restrooms or at work or something, you know. It's like, if you got to, you know, do number one, lift the freaking seat up. You can use your shoe and lift it up. You see it in gas stations, and you got to go to the gas station, and I don't want to get into too many details here, but it's like, well, what am I supposed to do now? I need a mop before I can sit down. It's like, lift the seat up.
I guess, in addition to that, is if you don't lift it up, clean it off.
Yeah, well, but if you're not going to lift it up, then you're certainly not going to clean it. But it's like, use your foot and flip it up. You don't got to touch it. I mean, it's not hard. It's just,
wow, that's gross. Men are nasty.
Men are, yeah. Wow. But you know what I don't understand is I've heard stories. It's like, because guys will talk about, you know, truck stop gas stations, whatever, and it's, oh, it's horrible, it's horrible. And women are like, oh, it's just as bad in the woman's room. And I'm like, how is that possible?
Oh.
They don't lift a seat either. I don't know if it's just a thing like it's like, oh, it's a rest stop, screw it, I can just be a nasty animal, or if they're like that at their house, I don't know.
You wonder, because sometimes they are so nasty.
I've heard stories about, I'm not going to get into like stuff on the walls. I mean,
it's just nasty. You just want to get out of there.
Okay, so my pet peeve is, well, I don't say thank you when you open the door for them.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
And it's just like you take it for granted that they're opening that door for you, and you just walk in, and you're like, it's just, a lot of my pet peeves are about manners. Like, people are just, I see manners slowly slipping away a lot. And if someone opens the door for you and you walk in, you say thanks. You don't have to, like, like give him a kiss, just say thank you or thanks or give him a nod, something, because they don't have to hold that door for you.
Yeah.
You can open your own door. And along with that, if you're opening the door for someone else and some other little fool comes and sneaks through when you're opening the door, that guy's got to say thank you too, because yeah. I wasn't opening that door for you. You just kind of snuck in. And that's cool. I mean, I'm not, you know, whoever wants to come on. But, you know, appreciate the gesture.
Yeah, I noticed that a lot. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to start saying, you're welcome.
Oh, I do.
Just to, you know, because it's not cool. That's not appropriate.
It's just manners.
It is. I mean, it's not my job to hold the door for you.
It's very polite.
Yeah.
Yeah, just be polite, folks. Mom.
I think I'm just going to punch him. I'm going to close the door on him. Bam! It's not for you.
Not you. And then hold it so they can open it. Dad.
And then take their wallet.
And it's, thank you.
This is one I've heard a lot of people talk about this on mostly on radio shows about, and I might even have some family members talk about this. I'm not sure about when you fill up your car with gas, you shouldn't top it off. You shouldn't click it. You shouldn't fill it up because it's
ozone.
Bad for the environment, or your car's not going to run right. Well, I don't know if it's bad for the environment or not, but this business about, oh, well, you shouldn't fill your tank up, you know, that's crap. Because since 1974, all vehicles have been made with a vent recirculation system between the gas tank and the carburetor, and they even have the carbon filters. So, and at some point in time, they made pressurized. The systems are now pressurized. So it doesn't matter if your tank is half full or full full. To say, well, you shouldn't fill it up because it's bad, that's bull. Just fill it up as much as you want. Now, you shouldn't run it over, because then that's dumb. You're wasting, you know, you're wasting gas. But, you know, because I've heard some of these, I heard these auto guys, oh, yeah, you shouldn't let that thing click 2 or 3 times and fill it up. Oh, bull. The system's made for that. Get over it.
Okay. Sarah? Wow, man, I'm super
I'm trying to think. I wasn't prepared for this one. So
you get the email.
I'm sure I'd have a lot if I had yeah. changed.
That's why I didn't let you.
Yeah.
Matthew?
Mine would be people who flick cigarette butts on the ground.
Oh, that was on my list.
It's like, I understand the tobacco. I mean, yeah, I guess it's biodegradable because tobacco's leaves and... tobacco's leaves in the paper and it'll decay. But you know what? Poop also decays, and I don't leave my junk laying on the sidewalk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's litter.
It is litter.
And you wrote on your window and you flick it or whatever, and that's littering, pure and simple. I mean,
right. At some point, it became okay to flick cigarettes like on the ground. It's not trash, but it is trash. Nobody's picking them up. Right.
I mean, it looks cool when you do it, but. But that's just wrong.
Put your germs on it.
Who cares? Yeah, but you're littering.
Well, it's just especially at apartments. You go outside, there'll just be cigarettes all in the grass. It just looks bad. It's just
littering.
It's litter. It's lazy.
You talk about. I saw something. I was in.
We're gonna change the world with this podcast.
I was going to school one day, and I was at a light, and there's a car kind of adjacent to me, and a guy opened up the door, and he had like a takeout food, like a little Sonic paper thing and whatever. Reached under his car and put it under his car and closed the door.
Oh.
And I'm like, what is wrong? Why would you do that? I mean, why would you do that?
I was behind somebody on the road, and they opened the door and threw their trash out in the their like McDonald's bag or whatever. Not McDonald's, I don't get sued, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
Sometimes you'll go to like parking lots, and there'll be like Coke drinks or whatever sitting there. Like they open the door and put the Coke out or something. Like what the heck?
Or use diapers in Walmart parking lots.
Diaper.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Just go there. Every store has a trash can. Like, we've had to change his diaper in the car. And what do? I go walk up, find the trash can, put it in the trash can. I don't leave it. It's no class, you know. I mean, just lazy. It's just ridiculous.
And what's funny is the I'm going to make a guess here. The type of person or people who would do that, their cars are not going to be clean anyway. So, I mean, having a food container in it while you drive home or to your next destination is not really going to matter too much. Yeah.
Mom?
Lots of that, I can't say.
Sarah?
Y'all are out already, too?
I can't think of it.
You're going to change the world.
Okay, well, I got another one. Not saying please and thank you in not just for doors, but in general. Like, you do something for somebody, and they don't say thank you, or if someone wants to do something, they don't say please. You know, just, you know, poor manners. Or saying, yeah. You know, we never said yeah growing up. It was yes. Mm-hmm. And down here, it's yes sir,
yeah,
yes ma'am.
Say sometimes it's yes ma'am.
But, you know, we never said yeah. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, it's just kind of like colloquial. It's cool now, but we never said shut up. Still don't say it that often. But we could never say shut up.
You're talking like just to people in general, or to like parents?
Yeah, remember we could never say it. Never say it. You never told Mark shut up. Shut up! I'm on Facebook. Just kidding.
Well, here's a pet peeve. When you're driving down the highway and there's a car kind of beside you and they hurry up and get in front of you, and as soon as they're in front of you, they turn.
Yes. Poor manners. Especially when there's no one behind you.
Yeah, they could get behind you, which is the politest way to do. And another pet thing is the one you're driving with is cussing that person for just doing that. And then that person driving your vehicle turns around and does the same thing to another car.
For shame.
Mm-hmm. Or the passenger reaches over and honks the horn.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you do that?
Long time ago.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Long time ago.
My pet peeve.
I said, don't you do that. I'm driving. And he reached over there. Well, you need to honk at him.
That was a long time ago.
Well, it's still a peeve.
I still remember that. That was bad. Oh.
My pet peeve along that line would be most drivers, especially in Houston, don't know how to use the brake or let off the accelerator, because it's like when you're merging, it's like there's no one behind you for plenty of distance, and in front of you there's a lot of cars, and they will always speed up. They'll never realize you can let off the accelerator and easily slip in, you know? So, I mean, when you figure it out, there's 50% of the world of driving opens up to you because, you know, all those spots are now open, but people just don't. They can only go faster.
Right. My pet peeve is men and women stereotypes. Like, men can't multitask. Women are the best. Women aren't good drivers. Men are, you know, all these kind of stereotypes about men and women. You know, women have good memories. They remember everything. Well, they don't. They only remember what they want to remember.
And men only hear what they want to hear.
See, that's
don't
a stereotype.
Don't go down there.
Those
oh,
are both,
no.
Those are both stereotypes. But I'm just saying that.
But one of them's right.
Men only hear what they want to hear.
But once you know, you meet a lot of different people, that there are men who are good at things and there are women that aren't good at the same things. It's not as clear cut as people think.
You know, one of the things, you know, I'm going to piggyback off that. One of the things that my pet peeves is people say men and women are the same. You know, it's like you're equal. You know, no one's better than anyone else. And it's like, I agree they should be equal, especially in society, but there are fundamental differences between men and women. You know, I mean, physical and emotional and psychological. I mean, men and women are different. You know, they should be treated 100% equal, the same in society, you know, in pay, compensation, work, all that stuff. But don't try to, like, you know, be so PC about it to say that, you know, because it's like there's a stereotype that, you know, men tend to be stronger than women, you know, muscle wise and all that. And it's like, that's not true. And they point out examples like, you know, and of course there's always exceptions, but typically men are stronger than women. That's just genetically coded in, you know, and there's nothing wrong with saying it.
Yeah.
Women are prettier than men. There's nothing wrong with that either. They're better at doing dishes. I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like there are differences.
And typically, they have better memories.
I just think that it's like you try to be so PC, but we are different.
Well, piggybacking on that, the whole PC thing is my pet peeve because it's taken so to the extreme.
Extreme!
That... Yeah, I'm not even going to get into any of the. But anyway, yeah, we've gotten way too PC about things.
Yeah.
I heard a comedian one time, and he was this comedian. He was a Latino comedian, and his shtick was he made jokes about white people and about Mexicans and about Spanish people and about, you know, black people, everybody. And he said the thing about it is if you got to laugh about everybody. You can't just make fun of one people. You gotta make fun of everybody. I don't know if that's coming across very well. But anyway, he was
saying
that.
Well, it's like South Park. South Park.
You make fun of everybody. You don't just single out. You don't just make fun of, you know, white people. Well, you make fun of everybody, and then everybody's on the same level.
Right. South Park does that. They'll like totally trash a group, you know, and like they'll really do a good job of trashing them or whatever. But they do it to everyone.
Right.
Nothing is sacred.
Right.
And it's like if you're gonna do it, at least be consistent.
Right.
You know, but what's funny is like South Park will, you know, make just ridicule everybody and whatever. In a moment, they do, like, I'm just going to say Scientology, but, you know, there's different groups. Then all of a sudden, they're up in arms. Like, well, you weren't complaining when they were talking about the Jewish people.
Exactly.
Or the black people. But all of a sudden, when it's you, you're complaining that that's not appropriate.
Exactly.
You know?
Good point. People don't complain when they're making fun of other people, but when they start making fun of them, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, stop the world.
Yeah. So we should all take this time and each of us make a racial joke about... I'm just kidding.
My God.
You first, Mom. Okay, I remembered my other one. When you do something like creative or extracurricular and someone goes, oh, wow, you sure got a lot of time on your hands. I cannot stand that because we all have the exact same amount of time. And actually, the person that said this to me is I made a book and I showed all my coworkers this book I made. And one lady's like, oh, you sure got a lot of time on your hands. I'm like, actually, you go home and watch TV all night because you told everybody that's what you do. I go home and take care of kids. And I made a book, so who has more time on their hands? You know what I mean? And
you thought of that?
And looks. Oh. It's in my eyes.
You know, my pet peeve is people who are all talk.
No, I didn't tell her that because...
So what really happened was you just start crying and ran off?
Pretty much. I walked fast.
No, but I know what you're saying.
But there's so many people talking at the same time, I didn't really have a chance to. Because I have called people on it before. But... You know, I mean, it's just, it's like if someone does something more creative with their time, it doesn't mean they have more time. It means they spend it more wisely or differently than you. It doesn't give you the right to, like, oh, you've got more time than me. Well, no, you were just watching TV for 4 hours, and I chose to make something. You know what I mean? So that's my pet peeve. Mom?
I got one. People who complain, oh, I need money for shoes, or I need something really bad and I don't have money for it. And then they slip and say it, or you find out that they spent money on other things that they didn't need.
Like cigarettes or beer.
Yeah, or something for...
Or a fancy new car.
You know, not that high, but they slip and or they go shopping when they didn't have money. That just gets on my goat more than anything.
Yes.
Feel sorry for me because I don't have the money, but yet I went and bought a bracelet. That's
a good one. I will piggyback off Mom's. And especially right now in the recession where people don't have money, losing their jobs, I've had conversations with several people, and they're like, oh, I don't have any money, and money's so tight, and I can't buy this, and I can't buy this, and they're out there smoking, or they're, you know, buying a six-pack.
Buying beer
or
something.
It's like, if you need money, and you're complaining, you're going to have to make sacrifices and stop the drinking, stop the smoking. I know it's an addiction, but seriously, don't complain if you're wasting money on something else.
Exactly.
It's easier to complain than to pony up and
give something up.
Try.
It's a lot easier to complain than take the steps to sacrifice and change things.
Yeah.
Speaking of the recession, one of my complaints, and I'm sure there's a lot of other people have the same complaint, is these companies who pay these exorbitant fees to the CEOs. And, you know, I work for a company that had a CEO that got paid millions of dollars. And he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything to deserve $30, $40 million a year. And a lot of these CEOs get way more than that. And what they do is, once they become CEOs, they start stacking the board with people who are friendly to them. And so anything they want to pass, they can get. You know, in the recession now, you see a lot of these companies say, and even the company that I work for says, we continue to pay top dollar for our top management people because we need the best in the industry. And then this last recession, we had all these companies that needed to be bailed out. Okay, well, obviously you didn't have the right people, but you sure paid them top dollar because they got greedy.
Right.
So, you know, I don't agree with that. I don't agree that a CEO is worth $30 million a year. He's not.
You know, you think about...
That's a whole podcast right there if you talk about that.
You think you got an employee who's making, I guess, $50,000 a year. And, you know, the CEO is making $30 million. I don't know what that divides out to, $600,000, $6,000, something like that. Is the CEO worth, does 6,000 times more work or more valuable than that grunt? You know, I seriously doubt it. I think what happens is when you get to a certain level, like higher up, I think it's kind of like a good old boy network.
Oh, sure. Definitely.
Where, I mean, they're obviously not earning that money, but, you know, because of this, the network in place, they can say, well, you know, company A, if you're not going to pay me $20 million, this other company will.
Right.
Because I've got the credentials, I've got the friends, I've got the networking, and so, you know,
right.
And I do have some skill and intelligence. But
what point is greed? What point does it stop being that and it turns into greed?
Oh, it's greed.
All greed.
It's all greed.
Anything above $1 million.
It's all greed because seriously, even if you're like, if I was CEO of four or something, yeah, it'd be nice to make $1 million. I'm not going to complain. $34 million is a bit excessive. To do the right thing, you know, okay, you can take $1 million. Take that other $33 million and spread it out amongst employees that are doing the work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you don't need $34 million. That's stupid. But $1 million, okay, you're leader forward. You know, you get some perks. I could see $1 million. But $34 million, I mean, seriously. You know, my pet peeve is companies that no longer do the right thing. And it's not about a sustainable company that takes care of their people and everybody gets what they deserve. It's about the top couple people getting as much as they can.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that. Everybody should be taken care of. Anyway, yeah.
I had a guy at work tell me his opinion, you know, for what it's worth. He said that, you know, he thinks the way it should be, take it with a grain of salt, is like, you know, you have a set so that, like, the CEO will never make more than, say, 100 times what the lowest person makes. So he's obviously making more because the CEO does more than the lowest person. I mean, they obviously do something. They have experience. They're making intelligent decisions. But they're always making, you know, 100 or 500 times more and not 6,000. So, I mean, if there's a lot of money that year, sure, he'll get you know, 10% raise. But everyone gets a 10% raise, assuming the performance. But
100 times is a lot different than 6,000 times.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, and hopefully no one at work is listening to this, but my boss wasn't there for a month. The business isn't going to fold. Now, what my boss does is some of the complicated wheeling and dealing with the board and stuff. But the employees are the ones who run the company. They're the ones who are doing the day-to-day, dealing with the customers, dealing with, you know, putting up power lines and stuff. Now, you know, I'm sure he does some stuff. But, and I'm sure that's the same with most companies. Once the boss gets to a certain point, the people are the ones who are running the company. And they should be treated appropriately. You know, if the boss got fired, if, you know, the boss of Ford, you know, got quote-unquote fired, what would happen to Ford? Nothing. I mean, the people are still going to work. They're still going to be making their cars. But if you fire the guy that's doing the wheel job or whatever, you got to get another wheel guy because it's holding up the line.
I think you're right, but at the same time, I think there's a very important need for managers, not top execs, okay, but like managers, because, you know, yeah, you know, you have your wheel guys, you have your line men,
right.
But someone has to manage.
Well, I'm not talking about managers. I'm talking about,
okay,
you know.
Okay. It's just
there are people that need to be managed.
And I can tell you from both experience and academia that it takes a very special person to manage successfully.
Sure.
Because where I work, we've got a lot of good talent, and we've got really good managers, and we've got really not good managers.
Right.
And you can see it.
And it'll affect a bad manager,
yeah,
can affect a company,
yeah,
for sure.
And so it is a skill set to manage people well. I notice I said well. But yeah, when you're like, what does the CEO manage? He manages a bunch of top managers who manage other managers who are other managers.
He manages his yacht on the Caribbean.
Yeah, it's
all right, Mom. You got another one?
I did, but I lost it. I'll find it.
Okay, Dad.
Well, one of my pet peeves is along the line of people making so much money, and that's these movie stars. Hmm. You know, a movie star gets paid $20 million to make a movie, and it's not even anything tangible. It's not anything that, you know, okay, they make a movie, so now what have they made? It's just entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Same with sports stars.
Sports stars too. I mean, it's just unreal. It's just,
well, it's but that's tied directly into the marketing, and they're paid that much because they know that they can pull in the crowd that's going to pay the money. Now, if people would stop paying the money to go to the movies, they wouldn't be getting paid that much. It's the same with sports stars. That, you know what I mean? They're paid that much because people like them and they want to see them. So the company says, okay, well, I can pay, you know, Brad Pitt $20 million to do this movie because it's going to make $100 million and we make, you know, $80 million. But if people are like, you know what, I don't want to go see Brad Pitt anymore, he's not going to get paid $20 million. And that's directly correlated to the population, you know. That's not really hurting anybody, but I don't know how much, like, the people that work on the movies, like the grips and the lighting guys, get paid. I'm sure it's not that much, just like any business. Those guys should be getting paid more because they're doing a lot of the work. You know, the set designers, the construction guys, the catering people, you know, they should all be getting paid more, I'm sure.
But writers. No one's going to go see the latest blockbuster because they had...
Because of the grip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, even though they'd probably you know, there's no doubt contributed a large amount to the movie. Right. That's not what's pulling people
but
in.
But see, that goes back to my philosophy of a business doing the right thing by its people. And yeah, Brad Pitt's going to bring the people in. He gets $20 million. Okay. Well, stop being so greedy and hogging the $80 million and keeping it for, you know, your company. Keep, you know, half of it and give the other half to the other people that made the movie. Like, you don't need all that money. Like, spread it around to the people that are helping you make it. You know, instead of paying the grip $8 an hour or whatever, and then you make, you know, like Avatar, what, $1 billion? Do you think any of those grips or anything get residuals? Probably not. I doubt it. You know how all that money could, you know, you could give a couple million to all the people that helped make that movie. You know how much a difference that
would make. Do you wonder if they ever do?
I doubt it.
I mean, you would never, but you would never hear it.
You never hear it, but there are so many people.
But do you think that they might say, okay, you know, you're getting a bonus. Here's a $500 bonus gift card or something.
I don't know. I would hope so. I mean, I would want to do that if I was in that position, that you would want to take care of your people instead
of. But they have to do it, you know, they have to do it after they made all the money.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know if they do or not.
There was one guy, I don't know if it was Michael Bay or whatever, but there was some director, and he worked with the same team, a group of people, for multiple movies in a row.
Sure.
And I would bet in a situation like that,
you can get them paid more.
They were paid more, sure. And if not, they were at least got some kind of bonus or compensation, sure. Because, you know, you at that point, you know, you have your team.
Right.
I mean, you would never hear about that,
and
though.
And see, the thing with, like, say, Michael Bay, you know, Transformers, whatever, I don't know, made millions of dollars. You know, Michael Bay doesn't need $100 million. He's already got all that money. So, you know, say I'm Michael Bay and I make Transformers 2 and I get $100 million. Well, I mean, you know, maybe I'll keep $20 million and give the rest to my crew, the 100 people that, several hundred people that helped make that movie that are making $20,000 a year. Give them an extra $60,000. I mean, that'll set them up for, you know, I don't need an extra $100
million. What do they need all that they money
don't.
For?
They don't. It's because they spend it all on stuff. They have these, you know, these million-dollar mansions, these fancy cars, these, you know, it's just... I don't know. That's
success.
That's my pet peeve is greed over doing the right thing. And there's just no reason for it. There's no reason for someone to have $300 million in the bank when they could help out their coworkers or their friends or people that helped them get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's so much excess, especially in America. You know, like sports stars, you know, movie stars, you know, they make $20 million a year and they stay in hotels that cost like $4,000 a night. Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
come on.
I mean, some, you know, that's just, there's no need for that. I mean, if you've got that much money, yes. Then to you, $4,000 a night is equivalent to like us, you know, $50 a night, Motel 6 or whatever. Okay, you know, because percentage wise, it's the same. But why does that exist, a $4,000 hotel a night? I mean,
because it can.
But it just seems it's so ridiculous. Silly because
yeah.
Two blocks away, there's people living off the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking like drug addicts who got there because
right.
Whatever. I'm talking about people, hardworking people who.
Sure.
Just can't catch a break, and it's like, you know.
Yeah. Sarah, you got one more?
Not right now. You're so out of whack.
Mom, Dad.
I don't. It's not really a pet peeve, but it would be interesting to analyze. Maybe it's a pet peeve. So America's like, you know, I think we're one of the most awesome nations. You know, I mean, I'd rather live here than other places. But you know, like our healthcare system is such a. You talk about greed, healthcare insurance, all that is such a mess. And then it's like, okay, you know, the richest nation in the world, and we can't provide basic health care to our people, you know, and it's like, well, if you did that, then, you know, we wouldn't have the high-level research and all that. And, you know, there's a whole debate about that. You go to Europe, and they get it. You know, it's like, or Canada has it. It's like, well, you wait in line then. It's like, well, there's always going to be a drawback. But, I mean, and the people who are making these complaints against it are the ones who already have it. We have insurance to work. So, of course, we don't want to lose what we have. Right? But what about everyone else? I mean, what you go tell, you know, the single mother with five kids that you can't have, you know,
have insurance.
You don't get insurance because I don't want to wait in line. I don't want to be put out.
Right.
So your kids can get sick and die or whatever, or have a horrible life because of malnourishment or whatever, because I don't want to be inconvenienced. Because I'm living in the top tier. I don't want to sacrifice a little to bring everyone else up. Pet peeve.
Yeah, pet peeve.
Designer purses. Designer
what's
shoes.
Like that?
$400-$600 for a purse. I mean, yeah, they're a little bit better made than, you know, a $20 purse. And they kind of look stylish or whatever, but you're paying for the image and for the name. That's really all you're paying for. And I just I don't understand that.
My pet peeve I thought of is musicians or actors or famous people who then turn around and write kids' books. Can't stand it. cannot stand it. There are so many people trying to get into the kids' book market that we do not need some famous person writing a kids' book just so they can make more money that they don't even need, and taking that spot away from some guy trying to make it, write a kids' book in his, you know, in his home at night just because, you know, I don't know, Madonna wants to write a kids' book. Who cares? They're only buying it because it's Madonna. They only gave her the deal because it's Madonna. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not.
Well, maybe it is good. Maybe it's in her heart to write.
But there are so many writers that are turned down every day.
And she's getting her break.
She only got it because of her name. That's how she got the break. Yeah. I'm not picking on Madonna, but there's a bunch of them. There's a trend like a year or two ago, and it's just ridiculous. Unacceptable. You've got your break. You're a movie star, or you're a musician. You don't need to do everything else,
too. So you're saying a magician should just stop?
They shouldn't be given a break just because they're famous, because they're doing it because they know they're going to sell books based on their name, and that's wrong, and people need to wake up to that. Now, maybe it's a good book, and maybe it's not, okay? If it's a good book, okay. But you still cut in line of everybody else who's trying to submit stories and trying to submit, you know, these books, and they're like, John Mayer or whatever, I don't know, he's a singer. Hey, oh, yeah, you want to write a book? Yeah, go ahead. We'll publish it because we know we're going to sell it because you're John Mayer.
Because your name's recognized.
Meanwhile, here's, you know, 1,000 other great kids' books out there. Psh, whatever. John Mayer, he's going to sell. You're not. You're nobody. And that's because people are buying to the name brand of these celebrities, and that is ridiculous.
It's also a good old boy network.
Well, it's just, you know, people think, it's John Mayer. It's Madonna. They wrote a book. It's going to be good. No. Yeah. Why don't you look at all these other thousands of books by nobody? Why would you want to give your money to somebody else that's already rich, they're already famous, you're just feeding their ego even more? Why not help somebody else out? Help the little guy out. I'm not saying their book's bad. I mean, you know, but
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
A pet peeve of mine would be the way we as a society, a nation, follow the stupidest, trivial stuff. Like
yes.
The lady with the 8 kids or Tiger Woods affair.
Yes.
Who cares?
Yes,
so much stuff goes on. I mean, you made a comment today. You know, you went dialogue.
Okay, so today my dad called me up on the phone, said the Dalai Lama was giving a speech on C-SPAN mm-hmm. at the Library of Congress. Okay, I ended up only seeing the part where he walked out of the room. But then on World News, the first 10 minutes of our World News was Tiger Woods. Did they mention Dalai Lama? No. That's just disgusting.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, who cares? I mean, what Tiger Woods did or whatever. Who cares? I mean, why would you follow that or like what Britney Spears did or whatever? I mean, I understand some people need diversions from day-to-day life, and so they follow it. But come on.
We've got.
There was no other news to report.
No, there's an entire world of news outside of there.
Turn on PBS and watch their news. The Channel 8 news, the BBC and everything. I mean, the thing about it, not everybody, but a lot of people in this country are so focused on entertainment and diversion. They don't want to deal with the real issues. They don't want to have to think about stuff. They don't want to challenge anything. They don't want to vote. They don't want to write their politicians. They don't want to protest. They want to go to work. They want to come home and watch TV. They want to just be entertained, and they want to watch other people living their great lives. And it's got to stop, because big business, big government is slowly taking over everything, and you're just, not you, but I mean, you're just watching this trivial BS. Meanwhile, other people are making all your decisions for you, and you don't know and you don't care. And it's going to be too late. And eventually what's going to happen is you're going to be told what to buy, where to buy it, how much to buy it, what you can eat, what you can wear. You're going to be told everything, and then you're going to be like, hey, what happened? Well, you were watching Tiger Woods and Britney Spears while we made all the laws. We just, you know, all our companies merged into two. You know, all this stuff happened. And you missed it because you were too busy, you know, not paying attention and not caring. And I'm not saying, you know, I watch movies too. I don't watch that much TV. But, you know, I watch movies. I watch some shows and stuff. But, you know, you got to pay attention to what's going on. Yeah. Watch some documentaries. Watch Food, Inc.
Stop being diverted by stupid entertainment. Like, what's the latest thing that happened on the reality show? Right. Does it really matter? I mean, pay attention to what's happening, you know, in the Middle East or... You know, one of my professors, he made a comment, you know, he's like, you know, who here knows what the camp capital of Canada is? And,
Ontario.
No.
Vancouver.
I don't know what it is. and like, two people raised their hands, and they were both foreigners. Of course, we had a lot of foreigners in the class, and they didn't know, so it didn't really prove his point. But the point is, we don't know so much of what happens outside of our own little world in America. A lot of people, when you leave the U.S., you know, all these other countries know so much about world history. And it's like, well, who cares about what happens to them, you know? And because, you know, America's number one, we're the greatest. And all that's like, well, you know, I can understand who cares what the capital of Canada is. No, I mean, no offense to Canadian listeners, but, you know, okay, whatever. I mean,
look it up in a book.
There's so much information to know, but at the same time, at least have a concept of that there is a world outside America, you know? Know that there is a European Union and what that means, and have an idea of what's going on in the Middle East, and well, know about this and know about that.
Even not so much that. Know what's going on in your own country. I mean, you know, sure, you know, maybe you don't care about Canada and you don't care what's going on about in Europe. That's fine. But you need to know what's going on in your own country. And if you don't, and if you don't even want to go that far, you got to know what's going on in your own state. You know, people are making laws every year that affect you. You know, there are things that are happening, decisions that are being made. Business corporations are making decisions and nobody's saying anything because nobody's paying any attention until it's too late.
I also think it's almost out of the hands of the normal person, and it's mainly amongst politicians, lobbyists, and big corporations now.
Well, it is because
we let it.
Well, people in this, well, some people do in this country, but we do not unite as a group. Like, there's no mass protesting except every once in a while. You know, in other countries, when someone passes a law that they don't like, the whole country's out in the street protesting. Oh, heck no, that's not going to happen. That law doesn't pass because the whole country shuts down, or the whole capital, or the whole city. But here they, you know, you pass a law, you know, something, I don't know, you can't buy bread on Tuesday. Well, what's going to happen? A bunch of people are going to complain. Some people are going to blog about the internet. Some people will protest, but the rest are going to be like, ah, well, I got to work. You know, I got to feed my family. Someone else is going to have to take care of it for me. Well, guess what? There is no one else. So that law is going to pass. You can't buy bread on Tuesday. Boo-hoo, because you didn't march. But if everybody on one day, or at least half the people, would say, okay, let's do it, and just shut the streets down full of people, guess what? That law will not pass because the economy's got to roll on. But nobody wants to do it, or not enough people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You'd be amazed. The power of the people is there. Just can you? I mean, can you imagine if I don't know. Let's say people didn't want high fructose corn syrup in any of their food anymore. Can you imagine if, you know, 10 million people all over the country started marching in one day?
Or stop buying that product.
Stop buying it. Guess what? No more. But, you know, you get a couple people complaining, a couple hundred. It's not enough. I mean, I'm serious. If enough people got out, you're talking about millions of people all over this country. It's a huge country. You get enough people marching on one day, you could change so much. But anyway,
yeah.
That's my pet peeve, is just apathy, I guess. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guilty of it too, you know. It's, so there's that.
One of the pet peeves I have is, and I don't, you know, I don't know how you've fixed this right now, but exactly what you're saying is the monopolies. Now, you know, you don't want government intruding in everything. But, you know, back in the old days, the government did step in when there was monopolies.
Right.
And they've completely gotten away from that now.
Yes, they have.
The railroad, you know, if you look back 50 years ago, there were hundreds of railroad companies. Now there's three or four.
Right.
And then, like you said, the food company. There's four companies in America that process all the chickens.
Right.
And, you know, how many computer software companies are there out there right now? As you buy a computer, you get your choice of Apple or Windows. That's it.
Or Linux,
but you got to go, you know, there's still not a lot of Linux out there.
Right.
And even though the government sued Microsoft, it didn't do anything.
Yeah.
It didn't change a thing.
Yeah.
It just made the stock market go
down.
Well,
it's because these companies are obviously buying off the politicians, because the same companies that own all the food, they own all the media, they own all the newspapers, the magazines. Like, everything in this country is owned by like three or four like big, big companies. When you trace it all the way to the top, it's all owned by these three or four big companies. They own everything. And that should have been stopped by the anti-monopoly law trust, mm-hmm. or whatever it is. But the government didn't do it because they were obviously bought off by them. I'm probably going to get murdered at some point by this company for saying this on the air.
Well, look at the gas companies, you know. Look, if you go back in the 70s, there was... when we lived in Rockdale,
right,
there were a bunch of gas companies. Now, you know, no, if you talk to young people and say, you know, oh, there was the old dinosaur Sinclair, you know,
right?
They don't know what that means. Arco. Well, Arco turned, you know, Sinclair turned into Arco.
Nobody knows that nowadays. Right. Those companies are gone.
It's Exxon, Shell.
ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil.
Yeah. Shell, Dutch Royal Shell, ConocoPhillips.
Where did Texaco go to? Chevron Texaco?
Chevron Texaco, yeah. Well, there's a lot of mergers, too, but yeah. We were in D.C. 2 years ago, and you know, I think every American, if they can afford it, they should go to D.C. It's kind of like going to Mecca if you're Islamic, because you know you walk around the mall, you go to the museums, you go to the memorials, and you know I'm not a super patriotic person, but you walk there and you feel so proud to be an American because of the you know the culture and the history that you know. And you know, I remember we were in the Jefferson Memorial, and a couple of things struck me, and we were the only people in there at that time. It was really a spiritual moment. It was really awesome because, one, you realize how intelligent our founding fathers were. I mean, these guys, not only were they just, you know, very well educated, they were just very worldly. They had their act together. They knew what they wanted as far as a country. I mean, man, those guys just, they had some rocks. And then you listen to, sorry. And then you read some of the quotes Thomas Jefferson has, you know, because there's quotes around his memorial on the inside. And he was such an eloquent, brilliant person, you know. And then the third thing was, it was so sad because it seems like America as a nation has strayed so far from what the founding fathers' vision. Now, a lot's changed since then. There's been stuff that they never could have imagined. But nonetheless, you know, they talked about the freedom of man. And, you know, like there's a quote, I think it's Jefferson, I hope I don't get it wrong. It's like, the tree of freedom must be watered with the blood of, jeez.
This is it. This is it. Call for revolution.
Yeah, something like the tree of liberty calls for the blood of, we'll have to look this up. But I'm basically, you have to water the tree of blood with, I don't know. But it, you know, there's just these powerful quotes because these guys knew what it took to sacrifice, and they were basically saying you can't become complacent. But, you know, you're in there and it's like, man, America strayed so far. Just, you know, the lobbyists, the big government, the big businesses, the government bias, and it's just like this is not.
There almost needs to be some sort of revolution and just kind of scrap a bunch of stuff and kind of like, you know.
Yeah, same with the legal system in America.
Oh, yeah, all of it. It's all got to be.
It's so, and the tax system too. It's all so convoluted over the years that it's like everything is just.
You need to stop and start over with, you know, to get back to the basics. Okay, let's do one more because it's getting late. Sarah, one more. Make it a good one. No, you don't have any pet peeves at all? Wow, man, I gotta start acting up more. I didn't realize I was in the clear.
I like how you think all her pet peeves are gonna be against you, but none of your pet peeves were against her.
Well, I gotta go home with her tonight.
Yeah, he's gotta do this.
Mom, you got one more? Okay, you got one more.
The price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
That's your pet peeve?
No, I'm done.
You're done?
My pet peeve, I got one. Okay. I'm gonna end on a very serious note because we just keep ramping up, so might be controversial. One of my biggest pet peeves is paper coffee filters. It's just disgusting.
Oh, wasteful, you mean?
Just everything. Everything's wrong with it. Because, like, I make coffee. You grind beans. You put them in a French press. You soak it in water, and then you pour it out, okay? What I guess most Americans, the way they drink their coffee, is they put the grinds in this paper filter, and then they pour hot water in. And
if
then,
you use a coffee pot, yes.
Yeah. And then you get this crappy, weak American coffee that's got that most of the flavors and the oils of the coffee have been soaked up by this crappy paper filter, and then
they make like little wire ones, don't they?
Yeah, like kind of goldish wire. That's what we use in our maker. But yeah, the paper it absorbs so much flavor of the coffee. I'm serious. If you have coffee like with the filters,
yeah, and
raw, really? Uncut, extreme filtered. You can taste the difference because we've done taste testings. And
well, we've gone through so much coffee lately, and Dad said, this is bad. He keeps marking it on his list, and we can't find coffee that tastes decent.
Well, that's separate. Don't use filters.
Don't you have to put filters in that thing?
You can get, like, these mesh baskets that you wash, and it's, like, metal or, like, gold lace.
It just keeps the grinds from going into your...
Yeah, because you're losing a lot of flavor to that paper. Hmm. And you're getting paper flavoring. Oh, it's a huge difference. It's...
Instead of wasting coffee.
I mean, next time just run your coffee through a dirty diaper sock or something, because that's what you're doing.
You might get more flavor in
that. Everybody does that. Everybody uses those filters.
No, only America, I think.
So they make the wire ones. I just think people don't realize that. I didn't know that it changed the taste. I just thought it was wasteful.
Oh, yeah, it changes the taste dramatically. Huh. It's not too wasteful because the paper decays pretty quickly.
But still, I mean,
but
you know,
yeah, the processing of it.
You know, if everybody would stop using paper and use the wet, the metal one that you had never had to throw away.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to make any more paper filters.
And it would actually taste decent.
Yeah. Check into that.
Another pet peeve is Denny's coffee. I could say Denny's quote because it's just that watered down or dishwasher
Pinto
coffee.
Beans coffee.
Dishwasher coffee. Yeah. It tastes like dishwater.
Yeah,
like,
most restaurants or whatever they use, like the cheapest coffee possible.
Yeah, and it's so they diluted. Serve so much. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm...
Like water. Colored water.
Speaking of that, one of my pet peeves is when you go to a place like McDonald's or Burger King. But if you want to be sure they don't screw up your order, just order one thing. And we've been to places.
I don't know. They could screw that up too.
You know, the example is McDonald's is trying to save money, so they don't let some of the McDonald's will not give you cream or sugar. They put it in themselves.
Right.
So you go up to the window.
That's gross. Yeah. How do you know how much I want?
Well, no, you tell them.
You tell them
what. So we went up. We went
what if it's half a cream?
So we went up to the McDonald's and said, "Okay, I want two coffees. I want one sugar in one, no cream, and in the other, I want one cream, no sugar in it."
Jeez, Dad, how can you expect anybody to get that right?
So when we got up there,
he does it like that. He does it loud too.
And I say exactly what I want. We get up there, and they hand you two coffees. Both of them have cream. Both of them have sugar, and they look
at maybe you shouldn't have yelled at them.
Well, that kind of
we
brings...
did that one time. And well, we said which one has sugar.
People that are working there.
Well, right? That's true too. It's what they hire.
An interesting point is I heard someone make the comment, so I can't take credit for it. But it's like, you know, so many people now make minimum wage for a living. You know, and the way it was, I don't know if it's envisioned or it used to be or it should be, is minimum wage is for like your high school kids
right.
who are working a job, but they're not really in the workforce yet. You know. Minimum wage is the bare minimum. You're not going to pay a high school kid as much as anyone else because they don't have experience or just starting off. But someone who's 20, 30, 40, working all these years, should not make minimum wage. Minimum wage should not be something you can barely get by on if, you know, that is your job.
Speaking of that, another pet peeve of mine. My last pet peeve is when you go... when you go shopping, grocery store, or whatever, and you check out...
You laugh, you live longer.
So when you go and shop and you check out and the checker is carrying on a conversation with their bagger or their person next to them and they're not even acknowledging the fact that you're there checking out, that's just back to no manners.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that. That's rude. When you go...
I don't expect a conversation, but say
that's rude.
Just a hello or something. You know, you don't have to say anything else, but don't just ignore me the whole time and talk to somebody else. And then when it's time for my receipt, you hand it to me and don't even say anything.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Manners.
If you go anywhere outside of America, you realize how nice those people are. Because everywhere I've ever been, basically, when you check out... Now, China was different because they're trying to bring themselves up. But everywhere, like, especially Europe, you go check out and you go up there and they don't look at you. And then they look at you when they do, like, how dare you inconvenience me? Like, they're mean to you. And it's like, hey, just check me out. And they check you out, and they throw your food down there. And
remember that lady at Prague that we went and checked out, and then we didn't know that they don't bag your groceries?
Yeah.
You have to bring your own bag, or you have to buy a bag for a nickel? Yeah. Well, we didn't know. It was our first time that lady was yelling at us. Yeah, my bag. I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. And she was mad throwing her groceries down there. Like, you got to get a bag. Where's your bag? You got to buy a bag. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I just wanted some freaking chocolate eggs with candy in them. Any last thoughts? Okay, well, thank you for listening to TupaCast. You can check out the new site at ctupa.com. You can email me at christophertupa@hotmail.com if you have any topic ideas or if you would like to be on the podcast and talk with us. We'd love to have you. Bye.
Good night.
And next week on TupaCast, we have our very first special guest host, Craig Perrell, who is an expat living in Japan, is going to be talking with us all about... what it's like to live in Japan as opposed to here, some of the neat things he sees over there. So if anybody else would like to be on here, if you have an interesting story or whatever.
You have your own pet peeves.
If you have your own pet peeves or if you disagree with ours, let us know. All right, good night.
Good night.
Good night.